He's the best coach, I think, in the league. If I could hire one coach to be on my team today, I'm not kidding, I'd hire Gus Bradley.
I'm proud to announce Gus Bradley as our new head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
This is a great opportunity. I'm really excited. I think what sold me on this opportunity was the passion. Everybody has just got to play to their capabilities, and then when they get to that point, we got to maximize them. Everybody's got to do that, and if we can do that, and our whole focus is on getting better, we're going to win a lot of games now. We will win. It will just take care of itself. I promise you on that, that if we do those things, we have the opportunity to win a lot of games.
You know, you can get caught up in one side or the other. You can look at it and say, oh, boy, we had our opportunities and we just didn't get it done. And I think that there's some truth to that. And then there's other side of me that looks and says, boy, I saw great progress being made. You know, the results, like I said earlier, it's a results-driven league, and we're not to the results that we had hoped for. Appreciate our organization, the fans, our players, assistant coaches, support staff, you know, for all they putting into this season. And I know we'll get through this journey. We're talking about this journey, and we asked our fans, we said, there's going to be some good times and there's going to be some tough times. And when we laugh, you laugh, and we hurt, you hurt. And it's been like that this season.
The moon is going to move, and the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be back.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Officially kicking off Jaguars Today on this Monday, brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. The day after we find out that Gus Bradley has been relieved of his duties as head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars after compiling a record of 14-48. You knew it was coming. You just didn't know the exact timing of it. We suspected it would last until the end of the season. Interesting item put up on Pro Football Talk yesterday, Tony, after the announcement came down. It said, with having lost to Minnesota, this is Mike Florio, right? I'll read the first paragraph just to set up. It says, after the Jaguars lost on a Thursday night in embarrassing fashion to the Titans, it seemed that Jacksonville coach Gus Bradley is on a week-to-week arrangement. With the Jaguars not being embarrassed in seven games since then, the occasion simply hadn't arisen to fire Bradley as a reaction to humiliation. It arose this week. Per a source with knowledge of the situation, the Jaguars decided after the Vikings game to change coaches because the Jaguars wanted to start the search immediately because they didn't want to start the search for a new coach with the old coach in the building. The Jaguars decided to move on from Bradley. It's the right way to do it. I'm going to read this the only way I can interpret this, because if you said, well, we got to fire him now after the Vikings game, then why did he coach another week? Right? I don't understand that. Or did they say that the decision was still up in the air until the Vikings lost, at which point it became clear that no matter what happened the rest of the season, Gus Bradley is not going to be retained as a head coach. And I think that is how I choose to read this. We'll investigate that a little bit further when we get the opportunity to. Dave Caldwell will address the media later on today. I don't think that's really that important in the big picture this morning. The fact is Gus Bradley's gone. We'll have an interim coach for the next 2 weeks, and then we'll have a new head coach here in Jacksonville shortly thereafter. And so with that, the Tom Bush Family Dealerships question of the day is simply this. Who do you want that coach to be? Okay, Tony and I have held our tongue on this topic for quite a while. I've had a lot of off-air discussions with Tony, and Tony knows I've been a Tom Coughlin advocate for once this season went off the rails, once it became clear that this season was going to mirror the three prior seasons and you knew a change was inevitable, Tom Coughlin to me is such the logical candidate. It's so overwhelming. I can't imagine, Tony, a set of circumstances to arise where a guy could have bring you almost to the brink of the ultimate success, then kind of peter off a little bit, get fired, go somewhere else, take that team to the ultimate success twice in the New York Giants, and then, like every coach, eventually it wasn't good enough what he was doing there, and he got fired. What Tom Coughlin could bring here, to me, is the perfect combination of professionalism. I'm not saying Gus. Don't read this as a negative against Gus. This is a positive about Tom Coughlin, in my eyes. Professionalism, dedication to his craft, success, proven success, a little discipline, right? And I do think when you've had a loosey-goosey atmosphere, which I think it's been here for the last 4 years, sometimes you need to go the other way. Tom's an offensive guy. You go from defense to offense. he checks every single box. There's not a box to me he doesn't check. He's not, to me, a, quote, retread. He is a gold mine sitting in your backyard. And if you don't at least force him to tell you, no, I don't want that job, then I don't think you're doing your job right.
Look, I think, and for everyone out there who's not on the Tom Coughlin train to potentially be the head coach here in Jacksonville now, I would ask you if the L.A. job or if New Orleans, wherever, if any other job in the league that opens up this offseason, if they hire Tom Coughlin, if your reaction to that would be anything but, oh, good hire. For whoever that team was, why wouldn't it be good enough for Jacksonville? And he is the most qualified candidate. I mean, there's not a whole lot of guys that are coaching in the league right now that are more qualified than Tom Coughlin to be a head coach, in all honesty. And I for the people that want to respond to that by saying, well, he just got fired in New York too, and look at what they're doing this year. Well, they just spent $200 million in free agency to fix the defense. They were going into another year where Eli Manning is able to get more comfortable with that offensive system that they had changed, and now it's his head coach that's making the decisions on that. It's not the same team in New York that Tom Coughlin had last year. He didn't have all these pieces available to him, and he won two Super Bowls while he was there. That still counts.
Head-to-head versus Belichick.
Right. That still counts. There is nobody available as a head coach that is more qualified to be an NFL head coach than Tom Coughlin. And if you have a head coaching, if you have an opening this offseason and you don't at least consider that as an option, then whatever GM anywhere is not doing their job. It has to be a consideration with him out there available and saying that he wants to do it again.
To me, it's got to be more than a consideration. Yeah, I've got to pursue it. If it's me, I've got to.
That's what I mean.
I've got it right.
A consideration to me is pursuing it.
Okay, and that's fine. Like, if you're really, like, if you're to say, hey, you know what, I'll consider him on a list of other 10 other guys and maybe I'll try. He's the top of the list. There's, you know, it's like when Bobby Bowden interviewed at Alabama. They wanted him to interview at Alabama back, I guess it was in the 1980s. He's like, look, here's my resume. You want to hire me? Hire me. I'm not going to interview for the job. Tom Coughlin's much more accomplished than Bobby Bowden was at that point in their coaching careers. You'd still interview the guy, technically.
Sure.
Go through the process, because that's how you find out about other candidates that are out there, and who knows what's going to happen down the road. But he's got the resume that trumps everybody.
And based on, you know, the people that we have talked to about the Coughlin situation, that it doesn't sound like the West Coast would be an option for Tom Coughlin. So L.A., I don't know how serious that would be, even if they wanted to pursue Tom Coughlin. I'm not sure that he wants to go all the way over to the West Coast. So we'll see what other jobs open up. Odds are there's going to be, you know, a couple more that are going to open up, and we'll see what the options are going to be.
Right. As far as we can tell, the highest paid coaches in the league make $8 million. I'd pay him $8 million and 1 cent,
yeah,
or whatever. If he cared about that, why shouldn't he be the highest paid coach in the league? Belichick probably should, because he's won 4 Super Bowls. He makes $7.5 million,
and he might make more than that with incentives.
Right? That's fine. I put it that way. He deserves to be in that tax bracket of coaches, and that should not be an impediment to whoever they hire next. All right, we got to take a timeout so we don't get too far behind right off the bat today. Probably already too late for that. But 641-1010 is the phone number. We're going to ask for your reaction today to the news. But most importantly, let's look ahead now. Who's the guy? You've probably been considering that Gus Bradley will be out at the end of the season, so you've probably had your own personal wish list. Maybe it goes a little deeper than one, and that's fine. And we do too. Look, it may not work out for any number of reasons with Tom Coughlin. I'm going to give whoever the new coach is a fair shot to prove that he is the right man for the job. I'm not going to be all bitter if I don't get my guy. I want the Jaguars to have success, period. But I think that guy, tell me why he shouldn't be the first guy, the first phone call that you make if you're Dave Caldwell, Shad Khan, or anybody else right now with an open coaching position in the National Football League. All right, we got to take a timeout. 641-1010 on the phone lines and the text line. Driven by Duval Ford. Hit us up on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony. Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. Who do you want the next coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars to be? This is Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns of Gold Monday on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right, let's get into it here. A lot of tweets coming in on this, a lot of texts, a lot of everything. And as you'd expect, we'll get to the phone lines here in a second. I'm Bill McNeil on Twitter asked us about if I told you you could hire Coughlin outright or trade a second rounder for Sean Payton. For people who may have missed the story, not everyone follows every little detail of everything that goes on in the NFL. Story came out yesterday. The Saints may be open to trading Sean Payton for not very much compensation, mm-hmm, because they want to get his – coaches, doesn't mean you're a bad coach. When you wear it, you're welcome. Great coaches ultimately get fired. Most great coaches ultimately don't go out on their own terms. It happens. Doesn't mean they're not great coaches. Doesn't mean they can't have success somewhere else. I think Sean Payton, if he leaves New Orleans, will ultimately have some success somewhere else. He has been a Super Bowl winner. He has been a play caller on offense. I'd have no problem with Sean Payton as an alternative if Tom Coughlin doesn't want the job. So if you're asking me, could I hire Coughlin outright or trade a second rounder for Payton? If you told me I could hire Payton versus Coughlin, period, I'd still want Coughlin. That's my opinion. He followed up. He said, so basically, you believe that in 2017, aside from Bill Belichick, Tom Coughlin's the best coach in the NFL. I think he's the most qualified. I think he's, you know, there may be a better coach right now. Maybe John Harbaugh's a better coach in Baltimore. I don't know. He's not available, is he? No, he's not.
Kyle Shanahan.
Mike Tomlin not available? Who's that? Kyle Shanahan?
Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle Shanahan. Which one, Mike or Kyle?
Kyle.
Kyle's resume makes him a better candidate than Tom Coughlin. How?
No, I was just kidding.
Okay. I mean, look, I'm not saying they won't go that direction. And if they hire Kyle Shanahan, I'm not going to be like, pouty baby, I didn't get my guy. Because a lot of people do that. I didn't get, you made a mistake. No, I'll be open to, like, hey, I thought they should have drafted Leonard Williams. They drafted Dante Fowler. I want Dante Fowler now to have all the success.
No,
in the
and
world.
I think this year is the perfect example of it. I said that Gus should have been fired last offseason. It didn't mean that I didn't want to see Gus be successful this year.
Exactly.
Like, my opinion isn't, like, I would be happy to be wrong about Gus Bradley. I would be thrilled to be wrong about Gus Bradley. I would be thrilled to be wrong about what I think the future is of Blake Bortles in the NFL right now. I want to be wrong about it. I want to next year find out that Blake, this was all just a terrible nightmare of a season, as he said, and he's the guy going forward. I just don't think he is right now.
I tend to agree with that.
So
right?
I want to be wrong about it. That doesn't mean that I am wrong about it. So look, I don't need to be right about the coaching decision. Dave Caldwell does.
If the Jags go 14-2 next year, I don't, you know, short of Satan, I don't care much who's coaching the team, right? I mean, as long as there's someone you can be proud of, and you know, they don't have to be Gus Bradley personality wise, temperament wise, and all these other things. It'd be a good guy who doesn't embarrass the organization and wins football games. That's not, we're not asking much here. He doesn't have to be the Rotary Club's man of the year. I don't care.
No,
quite frankly, win football games. That's what your job is. Win championships. Aspire to win championships. Regardless, let's get some calls in because not everybody's going to be on the same page with the TC, and I don't expect you to be. That's fine. In fact, like the first six tweets we got were six different names. That's great to me because people are thinking they've got their own list of candidates. I would just say if you're a Todd Haley guy or you are a Josh McDaniels guy or whoever, and they don't hire your guy, don't immediately go, oh, this is such a terrible mistake. And just be open to whoever it is coming in being the right guy and having success. Mike Smith or Kyle Shanahan or Mike Shanahan. I don't know who it's going to be. I'm all for that, having success. Short Dog in Gainesville going to lead us off today. Good morning,
hey,
Short
Mike.
Dog. How are you? What's up?
How you doing?
Good.
Good morning to you too, Tony. I just want to say I read what the Texans owner said about what Bill O'Brien did, calling that a gutsy call. I think that if Gus Bradley would have benched Bortles a long time ago, he would probably still have his job. Bill O'Brien put number 17 on the bench yesterday. Whether he was making $18 million a year or whatever he was making, this Bill O'Brien was trying to win a football game. Evidently, Gus Bradley was not trying to win a football game.
No, I'm going to cut you off right there. How do you know? What if Tom Savage came in yesterday and pooped the bed, right? There's no guarantee Tom Savage was going to win that game. They felt that it was the right move at the right time. I don't doubt for a second Gus Bradley was trying to win football games. He felt that Blake Bortles is the best alternative to do that. He saw these guys in practice every day. I don't think Gus Bradley's trying to sabotage his own coaching career and the Jaguars' success to be stubborn and stick with Blake Bortles. That's how I feel about it. Now, was it more of an organizational thing? Like, Blake's the guy, you got to stay with him? I don't know. That decision would be an above Gus Bradley thing. If Gus had control over who played quarterback, I got to believe he was putting in the guy, Tony, that he thought was the best guy to win in any given week.
It's not an apples-to-apples decision. What Houston did and what Jacksonville did replacing the quarterback, it's not apples to apples. Houston had a coach that basically from the moment they brought in Brock Osweiler has low-key been saying, I didn't sign off on this guy. I didn't talk to this guy. It's not my decision to bring him in. It was an ownership decision that we needed a quarterback. They went and got this guy, and it's been kind of low-key all season. He's been very defensive about Brock Osweiler saying, well, we're 7-6. That's what he said last week. It felt like Bill O'Brien has been wanting to pull the trigger on getting Brock Osweiler off the field for basically most of the season, but couldn't do it until it got to that point where they're in a position to potentially make the playoffs. They got a home game against a division rival that's got 2 wins in 13 games at that point in the season, and they were beating you because your quarterback couldn't make a 10-yard pass. And at that point, he said, you know what? I'm going to put in the guy that I've had for 3 years now that I drafted in 2014 in the fourth round. I want to see what he looks like. I don't care what we're paying the other guy. That is not the situation in Jacksonville. It's not. It's the number 3 overall pick with a head coach and a GM that are both committed to that pick because it's the decision they made at the quarterback position, and the alternative is a guy that you drafted this year in the sixth round. It's not the same decision, and it's, like I said, it's just not apples to apples, the decision that Houston made and Jacksonville made at the quarterback spot. They could be completely wrong keeping Bortles in. I'm not saying that they're right, and I'd be okay. I've been saying this for a month now. I'd be okay with Brandon Allen getting a look, but if they don't think Brandon Allen's ready and it'd just be throwing him to the Wolves, I don't want them to make that decision either.
Right. By the way, there's no need to throw unnecessary dirt on Gus Bradley's Jacksonville Jaguar grave, so to speak. By the way, Gus is just getting ready this moment to address the media out at the Sawgrass Marriott. It was kind of a hush-hush thing. Everybody was alerted, and they could send one person down there. So that's happening like right now as we speak, and I believe Lauren Brooks will be there checking in with us in the next hour to find out what Gus had to say about that. But let's not – look, did his methods work? No, they clearly didn't. He went 14-48. But I don't question for a second that Gus Bradley wanted to win.
No.
He just went about it the way he thought was best. It turned out to not be the best.
Didn't work.
It didn't work. Okay, but his motivations, I'm not questioning whether he wanted to. To call up and say, obviously, Gus Bradley didn't care about winning. I don't believe that for a second. I really don't believe that for a second. The results are terrible. I believe Rich Kotite tried to win when he went 1-15. I believe any bad coach wants to win, or any coach with a bad record, for that matter, however you want to phrase it, wants to win. Let's get Jimmy at the beaches up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Jimmy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good. What's up?
Good. As to the last caller, just watching that game, you could tell that he has great enthusiasm. That's why he was a good defensive coach at Seattle. You know, gets his players going. But as far as coaching goes, I think he's made several miscues. For instance, I mean, just look at the Houston Texans. That, you know, him pulling the quarterback out and put a different quarterback in there, not knowing if Savage was going to be any good, hadn't played any snaps in a while. And look what he did. You know, they ended up winning the game. I think that they left
Jimmy, I'm going to cut you off right now. He's fired. He's gone. Okay? We don't need to go back. Gus made a bad decision here. Again, it's like Tony said, it's not apples to apples. Tom Savage has been the backup quarterback. Brandon Allen's not even active on game day.
No.
People want him to leap all of a sudden to be the starting quarterback. It's a different circumstance. And again, I'm not here to adjudicate Gus Bradley's many coaching miscues. He's gone. Everybody wanted him gone. He's gone. And I'm not saying it's the wrong decision. Clearly, 14-48. Tony and I said it last year in January. We would not bring him back. I understand Shad Khan brought him back, so we got behind it. Hope for the best. We wouldn't have made that decision.
No.
But once the decision's made, we got on board with it. New decision's been made. I don't see today. Let's not spend the next 2 hours saying here's why Gus Bradley should have been fired. He is fired. He's gone. Who do you want the next coach to be is the question this morning. So, with that, let's move along one more before we break here, and let's get Wes in Stark checking in on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Wes.
Hey, good morning. I just want to say two things. This morning I woke up, I heard the news. I saw it last night before I went to bed, actually. I kept thinking, I hear all these choices for coaches, and I'm like, man, here we are, Groundhog Day once again. We're talking about we fired a coach, we're looking to other coordinators. Tom Coughlin is the best choice. He's a coach. He's a head coach. He's proven. You know, that's at this stage in the game, the Jaguars need a head coach. Stop going with the coordinators. I know coordinators have proven themselves to be good head coaches, but, you know, let's just go with the head coach. Let's stop with the coordinator talk.
Do you have a particular? Is Coughlin your guy, or is there another one? It doesn't matter to you as long as they've got head coaching
experience. I think for what's available, I think Coughlin's the best choice. I hear people talking about Todd Haley, and somebody say, you know, I'm from Pittsburgh, I'm a Pittsburgh guy, but you know, the Steelers don't give up coaches like that. You know what I mean? So I don't think.
Well, they don't have a choice. He's not the head coach. They can't stop Todd Haley from leaving.
They could pay him more money to keep him, probably, though, right?
Well, they could, but if Todd Haley wants to be a head coach, I mean, Pittsburgh ultimately, it's not their decision. It's Todd Haley's decision.
That's true.
So, I mean, look, I'm not saying he's the guy. I'm just saying, you know, in the end, he's not going to get paid as much as the offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh as he would be to be the head coach probably anywhere in the National Football League.
He's probably the best pick for head coach out of coordinators of the list that I heard of. But I think Coughlin's the guy. Now, here's the one thing I want to ask, and I'll take the answer off the air. What do you guys, because I listen to you guys every morning, what do you guys react to Dave Caldwell giving the same answer he gave with Tim Tebow when he kept saying, I don't want to hear any more about Tim Tebow, he's not coming? The same thing about Coughlin, then what?
If he says that, then I think Dave's not doing his job properly, quite frankly. I don't see any reason why he would do that. But if he were to give that answer, quite frankly, if he were to say, I wouldn't consider Tom Coughlin under any circumstances, I'd fire him on the spot. It's that simple to me. If I were the owner of the football team and that were within my control, I couldn't have a GM who wouldn't consider Tom Coughlin for the next head coaching spot under any circumstances. I can't fathom Dave Caldwell having that same opinion about Tom Coughlin as he did about Tim Tebow when he first got hired here. So, but that's how I would feel about it if he did. It would be a stunning lack of doing your job thoroughly and in a responsible fashion. How anyone would not desire to speak with Tom Coughlin about his potential interest in their head coaching vacancy would be beyond me, quite frankly, knowing that he is interested in coaching in the National Football League still. All right, we got to take a time out here. We'll come back, get more of your calls. Who do you want it to be? All right, who do you want the next guy to be? It doesn't have to be Coughlin, just because that's who I'd like to see. Could whoever it is, say your guy, make your case, and we'll continue on here on Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday, 641-1010. The phone number, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live at EverBank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is Malik Jackson, and you're listening to the only weekday show dedicated to your Jacksonville Jaguars. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Yeah, I said a minute ago, anything short of Satan, if they can go 14-2, short of Satan. Mm-hmm. Chris Morris at CEM 1107-1978. I'm guessing that's his birthday. I had a friend who was born on November 7th. He said, I would take Satan if we could go 14-2. So he would go the full Monty on that one. All right, Chris. We all have a line to draw somewhere. Apparently yours is a little further advanced than mine. That's okay. Today, that's what we're asking you. Who would you like to be the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars going into 2017? 641-1010 is the phone number. Let's get Jarrell on the south side in next. Good morning, Jarrell. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing, boss man?
Good, man. What's up?
Well, I said we got four good candidates. We all know Tom Coughlin. He's more qualified than anybody. And then not only that, you got Jim Harbaugh. You got Josh McDaniels, the Patriots offensive coordinator. He's not too bad. And Mike Smith. So I'm the same question you asked. Like, I think those guys would be good candidates.
So you'd be happy with any of those guys?
Yeah, I say Tom Coughlin or either Mike Smith because they proven themselves. If anything, Josh McDaniels not too bad, but you know, I say the most qualified is Tom Coughlin and Mike Smith.
All right. Hey, listen, I appreciate it. Look, you might as well scratch Harbaugh's name off the list. You can want him. That's fine if you want him. He made it pretty definitive. He's not going anywhere. I can't – he's not – if he were to leave Michigan after coming out and talking all the talk he talked about how he has no desire to be anywhere else and he's not even considering leaving Michigan, and this is crazy, after only 2 years – he'd never be a welcome back on that campus again.
No, look, it's his alma mater. He's been there for 2 years, and they were 6 inches away from being in the college football playoff, potentially.
His entire family moved to Ann Arbor, right, to be close to him.
You think he's going to pull the rug out from underneath Michigan football?
No.
To go to Jacksonville?
Not under the – not now, maybe 5-6 years down the road, let's say they've won a national championship,
right,
and he wants to chase a Super Bowl ring, maybe he comes back to the NFL.
And I can
someday
understand if Green Bay opened up – and Green Bay was willing to throw that kind of money, I think that you have to consider it because it's Green Bay.
It's the Green Bay Packers.
Right. I mean, that's
and they don't fire coaches willy-nilly up
no,
there.
No, it's a different situation up there than it would be to come down here to Jacksonville, in all honesty. Like, it's just Jim Harbaugh is a pipe dream.
By the way, you want any action on Green Bay Detroit? I'll take the pack. Who you got? it seems like it's inevitable that
Lions
they're overtaking them in that division. It's almost fair to say, because the Lions have played so great in fourth quarters this year. Or unfair to say, I should say. All right, let's get Marcus in Mandarin up next. Thank you, Jarrell, for the call. Good morning, Marcus.
What's up? Before we start, I want to give a shout out to my partners, Jared Johnson, Matt Salt, Scott Sloan, and my main man, Ferris Conda. But check it out, man. These are the candidates that I feel like the Jaguars should really look at. Of course, Tom Coughlin, because I feel like he's a great disciplinarian. I feel like he'll light fire up under those guys in the locker room. I also say the same thing about the wild card, Nick Saban. I feel like, he's already proved himself in college. He had a 9-7 record in Miami. I feel like he's just itching to get back to the NFL to prove that he is the greatest coach and he can coach in the NFL. And I would say Josh McDaniels, because if I'm not mistaken, he did take the Denver Broncos with Tebow to the playoffs and beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, I could be wrong, but I think he was the coach who did that in Denver. So those are my candidates. And, Mike Smith, I wouldn't mind you either. But that's all I have to say. Signing off. You guys have a great day.
All right, thank you, Marcus. Marcus and all your many friends out there.
Yeah. He did not lead him to the playoff victory, by the way. That was John Fox.
Fox, and was he? I thought he was.
No, McDaniels got fired
prior to that,
the middle
right?
of his second season in Denver.
But he was there with Tebow, right?
He drafted Tebow
and got fired after his second year. I believe he started 3-9.
Yes.
Right. So he did not get him anywhere. John Fox took what was left over and. Again, we don't need to rehash that whole season, but no, you're right. Josh McDaniels, is Josh McDaniels a good offense coordinator? Hell yeah. Have the Patriots had a bad offense coordinator in the last 15 years, Tony? I don't think so.
No.
Because they have had Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in the last 15 years. In fact, many Patriots assistants have gone on to be flops elsewhere. As far as Nick Saban goes, you can't argue with his record in college, okay?
No.
But I think one of the keys to being a successful college coach is being one of the best recruiters in the country. You just can't recruit anyone you want to come to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Nick Saban's used to playing with a stacked deck. He's got the name of the University of Alabama and all those national championships, real and imagined, that they have over their history. Joe's Barbecue gave him 3 back in the 1920s, I believe. Anyway.
Saban's a guy. He went 9-7 his first year in Miami, 6-10 the second year, and then went back to college football in Alabama.
Saban's biggest NFL decision was what, other than leaving? He chose Dante Culpepper over Drew Brees.
Yeah, chose Culpepper over Brees in free agency, which I'm sure he still regrets.
I'm sure he does.
He might still be coaching Miami, honestly, if he had made a different decision.
If Drew Brees had been his guy,
yeah,
maybe so.
He could have still been coaching down there, potentially. Look, I wouldn't be surprised if Nick Saban eventually returned to the NFL. Wouldn't surprise me. I don't know that this is where he would do it. I think he's a high-profile enough guy that I do think there's going to be a bigger job than Jacksonville. It opens up.
Right.
That doesn't have the kind of quarterback issues that it looks like Jacksonville is going to have. And because of that decision he made with Culpepper and Breeze, I think that may make him a little gun-shy to go to a place where the quarterback isn't necessarily in place when he makes the decision to jump up. And it doesn't feel like it's resolved here in Jacksonville right now.
As I said short of Satan, by the way.
I know.
Okay.
That guy was pushing the limit.
I know.
It immediately
He's right
too.
There on the borderline. By the way.
Those are called ass chewings.
In the end, if Nick came in and led him to a 14-2, who am I to rock the boat, right?
Yeah.
But you want to talk about a culture change. Nick Saban, the stories were you weren't allowed to look at him. You had to avert your eyes. Literally, if you walked down the hallway and you were just not
still the same at Alabama.
Not like a coordinator level guy. You couldn't even look. Don't think to speak to Nick Saban.
Yeah, you don't speak to Nick unless he speaks to you. And that's still a rule
You can get away with that in college, man.
Which, it's fine. Like, it's working.
Right? Certainly. You know, Alabama fans want to keep him.
Yeah, it's
doubt.
Working, so no one's going to complain about it. The issue in Miami was he went 6-10.
Right.
It wasn't working.
Right.
And so those things become an issue.
Is what he was called. All right, let's get in Chase. Oh, I'm sorry, Steve in Mandarin. My apologies. Steve in Mandarin next up. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. All right, first I want to say I'm not doing a shout-out to my friends. I'm a Jags fan, therefore I don't have friends.
Come on.
Why not take something like bring in Tom Coughlin? Obviously, he's not going to be bringing in Kelvin Gilbert. I think that was kind of his downfall. And bring in Todd Haley as his offensive coordinator slash assistant coach, heir apparent. Let Tom do a couple of years, get things turned around, and then if things are going good, let Tom retire on his own and turn things over to Todd Haley if they're having that kind of success.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't be opposed to something like that. I just don't think that, you know, why would Todd Haley make the lateral move? Unless, you know, I understanding he thinks he could be the next in line of succession, but who knows how long he'd have to wait in that scenario. Okay, look, if they did something like that, I'd be okay with that. But I don't think it's as workable as you make it sound. I just think that Todd Haley's like, look, I just keep doing what I'm doing in Pittsburgh. I'm going to get a direct head coaching opportunity, maybe several of them, maybe this year even, right? And may get interviewed this year or certainly in the next couple of years, because it doesn't look like Tomlin's going anywhere for a long time in Pittsburgh. I'd hire Mike Tomlin in a heartbeat, by the way, if I had the opportunity to. But regardless, I mean, that's what we're asking for, your wish list today. And a scenario like that where Tom Coughlin kind of has his – coach in waiting, so to speak, on the NFL staff, or at least a nod towards, hey, if, you know, after 4 years or whatever, it's time to move on. If everything's going well, we hand it off to you. The problem with that is, what if it's not going well? There are a lot of kinks that could go into the situation. But if they did something like that, maybe it's not Haley, maybe it's another young offensive mind to kind of, you know, learn the ropes of being the full-time head coach. I don't know if Pittsburgh, even under those circumstances, if you made him the associate head coach or whatever, if you really didn't have the decision-making power on the roster, Tony, I don't think Pittsburgh has to allow you to even talk to him in those circumstances. So I think it's probably a pipe dream, honestly, for a scenario like that to happen. But we appreciate the call. Nonetheless, we're asking for scenarios and wish lists today. We'll come back with this date in football and the Honda drive around the NFL. More of your calls at 641-1010 about who you'd like to see as the next coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll also check in with Lauren Brooks next hour, who is at the Gus Bradley farewell press conference out at the Sawgrass Marriott as we speak. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars today on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, the state football history presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Got a lot to get to on the state football history. Some significant, significant birthdays today. 1948, a couple of things happened on this date. The one in the All-American Football Conference prior to merging with the NFL, the Cleveland Browns knocked off the Buffalo Bills 49-7. The Browns were dominant back in the day. They won the AAFC championship game. Same day, the NFL championship game was waged. Not quite as exciting, although if you're a Philadelphia Eagle fan, I'm sure you're fine with a 7-0 defeat of the Chicago Cardinals back in the day to win the NFL title in 1948. You know, in 1988 on this day, Tony, Oklahoma's college football team got 3 years of probation. The only reason I bring this up is as a way to mention the fact that, you know, look, the lady who struck Joe Mixon shouldn't have struck him, but Joe Mixon went way over the top by punching her and cold cocking her and breaking her face the way he did. I would have a hard, hard time if I were an NFL general manager bringing Joe Mixon in to my football team.
Well, and Mixon was a guy that already had some off-field issues previously during his college career. And honestly, he's a guy whose talent says that he probably could have been a second-round pick. Like, he's that dynamic a football player, but he was already being talked about as probably a third-day guy because of the off-field issues. This one, I'm curious to see where it lands.
I've seen mock drafts where people kind of ignore the off-field issues and put him in the second round prior to this tape being released, which he signed off on being released because he knew it was coming out anyway. Boy, today's day and age, I don't see how that happens. And I've heard others discuss this. Joe Mixon, if you weren't a star football player at Oklahoma, would not have been allowed to stay at Oklahoma under any circumstances after doing that. Famous birthdays for the state. How about this set of Hall of Famers? Bobby Lane, born in the state, NFL quarterback with the Detroit Lions. He was actually the third overall pick by Chicago in 1948, six-time Pro Bowler, two-time first-team All-Pro, member of the All-1950s team. He was the first-team quarterback on the All-1950s team, a Hall of Fame inductee in 1967. Lived to be 59 years old, passed away at 59 in the year 1986. Born on this date in 1961, the Minister of Defense, Reggie White, was born on this date. Two-time Defensive Player of the Year, 1987 and 1998. How about that? 11 years apart. It was Defensive Player of the Year. He was a member of the All-1980s team and the All-1990s team in the National Football League. He was the fourth overall pick in the 1984 supplemental draft. Fire the three guys who passed on him, please. A 13-time Pro Bowler and an 8-time first-team All-Pro for Reggie White. Randall McDaniel, not to be outdone by much anyway, 54 years young today. NFL guard with the Minnesota Vikings for 12 seasons, then played with the Bucks for 2 years at the end of his career. The 19th overall pick in 1988, a 12-time Pro Bowler, 7-time first-team All-Pro, member of the All-1990 squad at guard, and a Hall of Fame inductee in 2009. Also born in this date in 1972, Warren Sapp, NFL defensive tackle with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 7-time Pro Bowler, 4-time first-team All-Pro, the 1999 Defensive Player of the Year, member of the All-2000s team, and a Hall of Fame inductee in 2013. That's four Hall of Famers right there with boatload of Pro Bowls between them. Several others of note to mention, born in 1974, Jake Plummer on the state. Jake Plummer's touchdown to interception ratio, 161 to 161. Nothing if not consistent. He was 69 and 67, the ultimate 500 quarterback. Jake Plummer's 42 years old today. Former Miami star middle linebacker, Miami Hurricanes, I should say. Dan Morgan played 7 years with the Carolina Panthers, born in the state in 1978. He made the Pro Bowl once. And happy birthday to current Jaguar Corey Grant, who turned 25 years old, born in 1991. This date in football brought to you by Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done or you're in the market for a family dentist, call their office at 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com. Get a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That was this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
A rare point in the common sense column from the National Football League. The league has already announced that Dallas running back Ezekiel Elliott will not be fined for his Salvation Army celebration last night on Sunday Night Football. If you missed it, Elliott scored a touchdown and then jumped into an oversized Salvation Army kettle that was on the sideline and had a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty thrown on him. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones took up for Elliott after the game, saying, quote, "I think the Salvation Army should give him the highest award. My dream would be for the NFL to really fine me a lot of money, and I'll take them to the Supreme Court. And we'll get the Salvation Army more attention than anybody can get them. So let's go," end quote. No need, Jerry. No fine coming. And actually, Ezekiel Elliott actually announced that he will be making a donation to the Salvation Army in lieu of not getting a fine from the league today. Cincinnati wide receiver A.J. Green is expected to return next week for the Bengals, barring any unforeseen setback, as he continues to recover from that injured hamstring. And Stanford running back Christian McCaffrey has joined Leonard Fournette, saying that he will be forgoing his team's bowl game to begin preparing for the NFL Combine and Draft. Stanford plays North Carolina in the Sun Bowl on December 30th.
Well, it seems like we're going to see a lot more of this, especially with the top running backs, right? With these guys just opting to skip their bowl games, which
I think they should.
Makes Dalvin Cook's decision to play, at least it looks like he's going to play against Michigan, an interesting one. You know, I don't know if that really sets him apart. I don't know if you're going to say, well, you know what, Fournette didn't play in the bowl game. Cook did. We're going to take him over Fournette. I don't think it necessarily works like that. So, you know, you're going to have an insurance policy taken out to protect yourself. I want to squeeze this in now before we get back to the coaching discussion here and who you'd like to see be the next head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Any other day this season, we would have been champing at the bit, frothing at the mouth to discuss Jalen Ramsey's comments post-game because, you know, we've been stuck in the same rut for however many weeks, Tony, 9-game losing streak, and it's just like, oh, gosh, what do we talk about different today that we didn't already discuss at length last week? Jalen Ramsey absolutely went off on the referees yesterday. We've got a rant that he did in front of the collected Jaguars media yesterday, but also he spoke with Aaron Wilson, who covers the Houston Texans. He's been a national reporter as well and now settling in on the Texans beat. But here was Ramsey. Tyler, I think we're playing Ramsey cut two here, right? The minute five going off basically and what he felt was some of the worst refereeing he's seen in his football life.
Personally, I thought this was the worst officiating game of my whole football career of my life, including Pee Wee. I feel like Pee Wee referees could have did a better job than these referees did. Just to point out a specific time, all game they're letting them push and, you know, grab face masks and tug and push off and things like this. And so they, you know, they gave us a little leeway to play pretty physical with them as well. And for a while, they were just letting us play, no calls, no calls. But then, you know, we get in the crunch time, and then they want to call calls on us, just, you know, pass interference here, pass interference there. When that whole drive, I can pull up the film when guys are pushing off, or I can pull up the film when guys are hands to the face. I started that drive with a mouthpiece on my helmet, ended the drive with my mouthpiece on their sideline. I don't know how that happened. I didn't take my own mouthpiece off of my helmet, off my face mask. I mean, I don't want to solely put it on the refs, but, I mean, in crunch time, I feel like y'all been letting us play all game. Continue to let us play. Don't be some homers and try to call stuff on us towards the end of the game and not on them.
All right, he went on to tell Aaron Wilson specifically.
This is the quote.
Hey, my money, he's burning. Specifically, I want to call out, I don't know his name, I don't really care for it, field judge number 104, by far the worst official in the NFL. He needs to be fired 100%. Terrible, terrible, terrible. When asked, why would Shaw be biased in favor of the Texans? According to Ramsey, Shaw is supposedly related to Hopkins. He may be kin to Hopkins or something. I don't know, Ramsey said. He's just a homer. I feel like the whole officiating crew, they were homers. And Hopkins denied being related to Shaw. And he said he attributed the comments to Ramsey losing his cool. I understand he's a young guy. He's frustrated his team lost, but it's a game of football. I definitely don't have any family members that are referees, said DeAndre Hopkins. So, again, I think they're entertaining comments. I think ultimately they can have a negative effect, because if you blast the referees publicly, they're human beings too, even though they should be above the fray and call things straight. You can't wonder if it doesn't creep into their subconscious. Well, any ticky-tack either or call is going against Ramsey every time. He gets pushed off on, we may let that go. You know what I mean? I just think that's human nature. So I think there can be a negative effect other than the cash that he surely will be fined, particularly for singling out a referee by number, if not name. And you don't hear these comments. You don't hear comments like these that go this far hardly ever by a professional athlete, because they don't like to burn money.
No, they don't. And look, Jalen had the best day of his career yesterday, and this feels like something that probably has been boiling over with Jalen. I remember being out at like training camp practices, and he would be yelling at officials at, you know, Allen Robinson doing something to him. I mean, it was his first practice in the NFL, and he was willing to yell at officials out there. He did it in preseason games. I've watched him, you know, throughout the season. Whenever there's a completion on Jalen, 80% of the time that someone completes a pass on Jalen, his first look is at the official. Like, you're going to let him push me? Like that's in his head. I think he's that kind of competitor, and I think he had a good enough game yesterday. It was a frustrating enough loss because they blew that lead that it just all boiled over the same time. And look, I think it's kind of funny. I don't have an issue with him saying it. Like you said, if he wants to spend the fine money, spend the fine money. It certainly is entertaining, and I doubt we're going to hear Jalen saying things like this very often going forward.
I don't know if that's true or not, honestly.
Not specifically about the refs. I'm not saying Jalen is a guy that doesn't talk a whole lot anyway. But like when Jeff said he had Jalen Ramsey in the locker room yesterday, I was like, all right, here we go. Let's see what Jalen has to say when he's hot right after a game like that. And I was not disappointed.
No, not at all. That's why I think he's still a young, somewhat impetuous guy, whatever. I mean, that's just who he is. And I wouldn't be surprised. Now, will he go this far again? Maybe not, but he strikes me as the kind of
guy that
you could tell him not to be careful what he says, and he's just going to be like, man, I'm going to say what I'm going to say.
He did it. Like, I was standing there when he did it, when he was asked about getting thrown out of that game, and he looked at one of the Jags PR guys standing right over my shoulder and said, you know what, they don't want me to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Like, that's why I don't think we've heard the last of this.
No, but I think it's going to be a different thing with Jalen. You know, I don't think this is the last time Jalen's going to say something and we're all going to be like, oh, that's Jalen. Like, I doubt that's the case, but I think it shifts constantly with him as to where his anger is going to be pointed.
Certainly possible. All right, let's get to more of your calls coming up here momentarily. What do you think about the coaching vacancy? Who should it be? Not the interim coach, but who should be the next full-time coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars? That's the question of the day presented by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. We'll get back to your calls right out of the break. This is a Wild West Guns of Gold Monday. Also, Lauren Brooks will join us a little bit later on. I would imagine they're still going on out there at the Sawgrass Marriott.
They just finished.
Did they just wrap up? So yeah. We'll get Lauren on shortly as well to give a quick reaction to what Gus Bradley had to say at a farewell press conference
and
at
we'll
the Sawgrass Marriott. And that's right. We got tickets. Tyler keeps reminding me, and I keep forgetting to mention we've got a pair of tickets for the final home game of the season, Jags-Titans. Look, here's an incentive to maybe want to go, right? Maybe you've attended a game under every coach in Jacksonville Jaguar history. Maybe you were here for the Mel Tucker regime, right? Who knows? You've been to every game. Well, likely you're only going to get one chance at home to see whoever the interim coach is, coach the Jacksonville Jaguars as the head guy. So yep. There you have it. December 24th. Also, if you win them, you'll go into a drawing to be eligible to win a dinner with some Derek Marks at Three Forks and get a set of Jaguar-themed rings courtesy of Global Diamonds. So we'll do that in the next 45 minutes, give you an opportunity to score a pair of tickets to go see the Jags' final home game of the season and try to snap a 9-game losing streak. With Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey on a Wild West Guns of Gold Monday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right, Jaguars Today continues live at EverBank. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony will be back to your phone calls momentarily, but right now we've got Lauren Brooks on the line, 1010XL.com's own embedded Jaguar reporter, and she was out at the Sawgrass Marriott this morning where Gus Bradley held a kind of a farewell press conference to sum up his thoughts, I'm sure. And, well, let's not assume. Let's talk to Lauren and find out. Good morning, Lauren.
Hey, Mike. Good morning. How are you?
We're doing well. Obviously, the big news, we know what it is, and you know, we knew it was coming. We just didn't know what the timing would be. What was Gus Bradley's reaction? What did he have to say this morning?
He said he was so thankful for the players, for the coaching staff, for the fans. He is thankful for virtually everyone he's come into contact with and all the positive things that people have said despite the tough times. He is a class act, and I'm not just saying that because I've gotten to know him. I think from the outsider view in, this man truly understands what it is to have character and said basically that, yes, he knew this year was a big year and he didn't get it done. He takes full responsibility, as he's said multiple times. And the most ironic thing is after he walked out and everything was over, of course, on ESPN, it said Jaguars fire head coach Gus Bradley. And he looked at that and he laughed. But he called his family as soon as, you know, the game was over and he had found out and his phone died in the middle of telling his
wife. Oh, no.
I know. So luckily got it back up and powered and then, you know, explained what had happened. And he said the only regret he really has, or the biggest one, is that he can't be with the players for the last two games and be here when they turn it around and when they start to be successful.
Yeah, two different things there, obviously. They weren't going to turn it around in the last two games, and I understand his desire to close out the season. Was he asked about the way it was handled and what he thought about the fact that, you know, he found out while he was in Houston? You know, it seems like, you know, more often you'd wait until the guy got back into town, but what do they have to say about the circumstances of it?
He said that he was actually glad he found out when he did, because then he got to be on the plane and hanging out with the players and spending time with them kind of one last go round, because they didn't have any team meetings today. So he wouldn't get a chance to speak to them one final time. So he actually was kind of glad about the way that it went, surprisingly.
Well, that's good. Did he talk about his plans? It just happened. We're less than 24 hours away. So, but he has to have known this was coming. Does he want to get right back into coaching in 2017? Did he in whatever capacity? Did he talk about that, Lauren?
He did. I actually asked him if he would coach in college, and he said he will coach anywhere. He is 1,000% interested in coaching immediately. I think even the taking time off for the holidays thing, I don't think he'll really be taking much time off. I have a feeling that he'll be receiving offers very shortly and planning, you know, where he's going to go next and move the family. And Ryan O'Halloran asked him, this is the first time that he'll be moving with his kids as far as athletes go, you know, in high school. And he said that will factor in and be a consideration of where they decide to go as well.
No doubt. I mean, who knows how he would do, but it just seems like you want to talk about molding young men and developing character. And however much that is an important consideration for anyone hiring a head coach at the collegiate level.
Gators DC.
Why not? Seriously. I mean,
that's
why
I asked him the question if he would coach in college. That was the reason I mainly asked it, is that
right.
Gator defensive coordinator position is open.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think he's a hell of a guy, and no one disputes that. You know, I don't need to really say much more on that whole thing. Gus Bradley never did anything to embarrass this organization other than not win games, right? And, you know, as a coach, he wasn't an embarrassment as a man. That's what I'm saying. You know what? I mean, you can
absolutely
be embarrassed by the 14-48 record, but if you want to judge the quality of the man, they don't come much finer than Gus Bradley. And that's
and he was asked. He said, or the question was, Brent Martineau asked him, how much of a challenge was this? You know, did you really fully understand what it was going to take to run this organization? And he said, absolutely. When he was first interviewing, Shad Khan explained to him that it was, you know, going to be an uphill battle. And he said he gave every ounce he possibly could. And obviously it didn't go the way he wanted it to go, but he knew it was going to be difficult. And it certainly was, you know, a little bit outside of what he could handle, at least from what we got to see.
LB, you're going to be, I assume, at Dave Caldwell's press conference this afternoon as well, right?
Yes, sir. I will be there.
All right. Well, we'll listen in, as I'm sure you'll be reporting as soon as that is over with, and on the midday chalk, I'm supposed. Is that 2 o'clock today, I think, for Dave Caldwell?
Yes, sir. 2 o'clock.
All right. So that'll wrap up probably right around 2:30. Who knows how long that'll go. It could be wrapping up right as midday chalk is wrapping up, and Frank Franchi and company come on the air. But as soon as it is over with, we'll have full reaction, and you'll hear what Dave Caldwell had to say in regards to the interim coach and the first steps in the beginning the process of seeking a full-time coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Lauren, always appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. And by the way, one last thing. I did ask Gus who he would promote if he had the option to interim coach, and he said it would be Doug Marrone, as you would expect.
Okay, well, that's a good question, though, because maybe there was somebody, you know, another candidate out there. He does have head coaching experience, and
right,
that is certainly the likely guy that we would expect.
Right.
I think it would be an upset if it wasn't, but I don't have a – look, whoever they think is the most worthy to get that, because it does put your name – let's say it was a Dwayne Walker, right? It puts mm-hmm. your name people will say all of a sudden, oh, well, why Dwayne Walker? Let's take a further look at him. Or why Todd Wash? Why is he as opposed to Doug Marrone? I'm not saying it'll go that way, but if it did,
right,
I think that there's plenty of reason for you to want to be in that position over the next couple of weeks to just put your name in that conversation for bigger things down the line in your own coaching
absolutely
career.
Absolutely. I was curious if he would have said either Doug Marrone or offensive coordinator Nate Hackett, too. That was one that I thought, just because, you know, of late he's done a pretty good job. But there you go.
All right, thank you, Lauren Brooks. We'll talk to you
absolutely
soon.
Thanks for having me.
All right, you got it. There she goes, LB, 641-1010. So you heard what Gus had to say, and I didn't expect him to react much differently, Tony.
No.
Getting to the
even the idea that he's having a press conference today.
Right, he didn't have to do that.
No,
you know,
that's Gus.
Gus is class, man. He really is. And I'm not saying that should give him more consideration in sticking around. Maybe, look, if you like people, you try to give them a few extra breaks and opportunities. Didn't stop us from saying a year ago that we wouldn't have brought him back for the fourth year. But it is difficult in that circumstance because you really do like the guy. Look, we'd all like to have a guaranteed contract that's going to pay us several million bucks next year,
yep,
right? And that's what he's got. He's fine. His family's going to be fine. They're going to be great. But it doesn't mean it's just not still a difficult circumstance, you know, for the first time to have this happen to you, basically. Coaches lose their jobs, but you only get to be a head coach for the first time once, and to have it go the way it did, I'm
yeah
sure he's not happy.
Look, Gus Bradley, wherever he goes, I wish him success. And as I said last
night
on Twitter,
not if he goes to Gainesville, I'll be quite frank with you.
I don't care if he has success.
I hope he goes 0-12.
Like
year
outside of him going somewhere in the AFC South, good luck, man. Like, go get him. I hope he's successful with whatever he does next.
Go if he goes to the Tennessee Volunteers.
Oh, then the
oh, no. So okay. So then there is.
Oh, there's a line.
All right. Well, that's what I'm saying. There's a line.
There's
a line around Gainesville. If Gus goes there, good for him. I'm going to root for him to fail every week. That's just the way it is.
Honestly, I like the guy enough that it would be one of those situations where I'm pulling against him, but kind of like, good for you, man.
Nah.
Like,
not me.
I am that type of guy.
Let's get to Bob on the South Side up next. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
I think I have it figured out for the Jaguars. I think they should.
Hey, Bob, do me a favor, please. Take us off speaker. It doesn't sound good on the radio.
Okay, is that better?
Yes, it is much better. Thank you.
All right, my pleasure. I think they should offer New Orleans a first-round draft choice. Take Sean Payton and Drew Brees,
and then make Coughlin the president of operations like Parcells was in Miami.
Look, if we're going to play fantasy football, I take that deal too. Right?
I would too.
All right, if you're going to bring Drew Brees as part of the package for however many years he has left in the league and bring Sean Payton with him, and people can point at Sean Payton's record. What has he done? They hung 48 yesterday. All right?
They did.
With a team going nowhere. All right? He's won a Super Bowl. I think Sean Payton is a pretty good offensive mind. And if you could get that kind of package deal, apps, I would do it. I would. I just don't think that's at all in the realm of possibility of happening. You know. So, but if it were, that's an intriguing, you know, way of looking at it. If you exhaust all avenues with Tom Coughlin and you don't work it out, I'd be fine if Sean Payton was the guy. I'd give a fifth round pick for Sean Payton. I think having a coach who's won a Super Bowl who is a generally regarded as a brilliant offensive mind is a pretty positive thing. Plenty of late round draft picks don't pan out. You know, you can say, oh, this team can't afford to give away any picks. Well, you got to give something to get something sometimes. And in that circumstance, I'm not giving my first round pick for Sean Payton. Don't get me wrong. A top five pick and then have to pay him top of the market salary unless Drew Brees is coming along with him. I just think that's probably fantasy land, but that's fine. Let's get Denise. Or I'm sorry, Dennis. It's Dennis in Maryland. That's my eyes, Dennis. I'm getting older.
Denise,
I apologize.
Huh? Thanks, man.
I misread it, brother. I apologize. You can call me Michelle if it makes you feel better.
All right, Michelle. Well, I appreciate you taking my call.
You're welcome.
Good morning from Southern Maryland. I'm listening on the app here. I'm one of the many frustrated Jaguars fans abroad. I wanted to say thanks to Gus for your effort. Thanks for your passion. I wish you well wherever you go. I think Dave Caldwell's first phone call needs to be to Tom Coughlin. I believe in Tom and the success that he had both with us and with New York. I think it's crazy to not even consider him. And I wanted to get your thoughts. I'll jump off to get out of the way. But if Marvin Lewis were to come available and Tom wasn't able to work the deal here, would you pursue Marvin Lewis? Why or why not?
Okay, you know, possibly I'd consider. I haven't really thought much about Marvin Lewis. I would, as you said, exhaust the possibilities with Tom Coughlin before I move on to any other name. That's me. Marvin Lewis has been successful getting a team to the postseason, Tony. Hasn't been successful winning in the postseason. Now, you could sit here and say you'd certainly like a team that goes to the postseason most years, not every year. They've fallen off this year. Let's say they fired him, and that's what we'd have to have happen. Put it this way, Marvin Lewis isn't a guy who's won at the ultimate level in the postseason. I wouldn't give anything to pry Marvin Lewis away from the Cincinnati Bengals, but if he became available, I would certainly be interested in interviewing him. And, you know, at that point, it becomes more of an open thing. To me, it'd be easy. If Tom Coughlin wants a job, I'm going to hire Tom Coughlin, okay? And I understand you got a Rooney Rule, you got all these other things you should interview. Fine, interview five candidates, interview 10. But he's the guy, to me. I don't feel that way about Sean Payton or Josh McDaniels or Marvin Lewis or anybody else to the degree that I do about Tom Coughlin. But I'd be open to the idea of at least learning more about Marvin Lewis and what he could bring, what he thought he could do with the personnel that's in place here. So, you know, not diametrically opposed to that idea.
No, there aren't a whole lot of guys, honestly, that you're going to mention at this point in this process that I'm just going to go, nope. Jeff Fisher would be one of those guys.
Not interested in Jeff Fisher.
Harbaugh I would be interested in, but he's a nope because it's a nope.
Right. Oh, I'd be interested in Harbaugh.
Yeah.
It's
just not going to happen. So there are guys like that. Like, I know we're going to get some of the, you know, Bill Cowher, Gruden, that kind of thing. They're not coming. I don't think they're coming back. And if they are, I don't think it's going to be here.
I agree with that.
If they're going to come back to the NFL. So those guys are kind of no's, not because I wouldn't be interested, but because it's just a no from those guys. Outside of that, I think there are a lot of possibilities for this job, and the quarterback situation in Jacksonville and how dedicated Dave Caldwell as the general manager going forward is going to be to that, I think is going to be a huge determining factor in who's going to wind up here and how much they're willing to put up with. You know, the idea of Blake Bortles being the quarterback, or do they really have some leeway on trying to find another answer what is that going to look like for this team, I think could go a long way in determining who's going to be the coach.
Quite frankly, if I was Shad Khan, I've already had this discussion with Dave Caldwell. Once I've announced that Dave Caldwell is going to head up the coaching search, I've made my determination that he's going to return. I mean, otherwise, why are you allowing him to head up the coaching search? And if you've made the determination that he's going to return, you've had to have discussions about him, about the future of the quarterback position. And if Dave Caldwell told me that Blake is the guy unequivocally, and we're not going to countenance any suggestion otherwise, no, then I'm sorry, you're not returning as my general manager. Dave Caldwell has got to let the new coach play the best quarterback and work in harmony with him to determine whether going out and drafting another one is the right thing to do this year, depending on who you like in this year's draft, or pursuing a free agent or a trade aggressively. Either way, there need to, if Blake Bortles opens up as the quarterback next offseason without anyone having a legitimate chance to push him out of that spot, then I think they're making a mistake, period. They need to bring in somebody who legitimately is, whether it may just be Brandon Allen, but he's got to have the opportunity that if he outplays him, whoever it is in the offseason, whoever plays best in the offseason next year, it's got to be the quarterback of this team, at least to open the year next year. To me, that's just got to be, there's no anointing. There's no more sacred cow status for number five, in my opinion. All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll come back, take a look at some of the many responses we've gotten on the fan feedback question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. Who would you like to see be the next full-time coach of your Jacksonville Jaguars? Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Ms. Nika on Twitter. She says, next person that suggests Fisher is catching these hands. That's how we feel, Ms. Nika, as well. How can you bring up his name? Losing his coach in the history of the NFL. Losing his coach. He's lost more games than any, as many as any coach has ever
lost. You want to follow up the coach with the worst record in the NFL's history with the guy who's lost the most games?
Who's maybe the most all-time historically most hated figure in franchise history. Nope. Find a retread somewhere else.
Didn't even know who was playing for the other team 2 weeks ago.
Nope. Don't want it.
Oh, my gosh.
Got a two-year contract extension, got fired about a week later. That's what happened with Jeff Fisher. Mm-hmm. So, nope, don't want him. No interest. Ms. Nika will be throwing hands at anyone who suggests otherwise. All right, let me get some of these on Facebook because they're a little bit longer, and then you can rip through some of the responses on Twitter. We just asked folks today, courtesy of the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, the fan feedback question of the day, who do you want to see hired as the next full-time coach of the Jaguars? Let's see, Josh went with Jim Bob Cooter or Josh McDaniels. For folks who don't know Jim Bob Cooter, formerly coached at Tennessee and is the offensive coordinator, was elevated to that status last year for the Detroit Lions.
Yes.
And once he did get elevated to that status, Matt Stafford took off. I mean, the offense really took off. Now, here's the problem to me. No head coaching experience. Yes, he can coordinate an offense. Can he run a team? I don't know. Gus Bradley could coordinate a defense. Can he run a team? He didn't prove to run it very successfully, right? So I would doubt.
Previous head coaching experience is pretty high on my list.
Me too. I don't think it's an absolute must.
No.
But I think there's so many good qualified candidates that you're going to have that have prior head coaching experience. I think that makes him unlikely, but an interesting name anyway to discuss. Let's see. Brian said Josh. And Kyle, I'm assuming it's Kyle Shanahan, Josh McDaniels, not Tom, although he's a Hall of Fame coach, I appreciate what he did in the past. It's like getting back with an old girlfriend or ex-wife after 10-plus years. You'll start to remember why y'all broke up, he says. A lot of people have suggested that. To me, look, you think the Browns would be wise if they could get Belichick back? You know, I mean, Belichick had a losing record 4 out of 5 seasons in Cleveland, and he got fired, and he went on to become arguably the greatest coach in the history of the National Football League. Tom Coughlin was an outstanding coach here who, in part because of his domineering personality and ways that he drove players, kind of lost the locker room and lost the belief of the fan base. I think Tom's mellowed. I think he's learned a lot. He applied that in helping lead the Giants to 2 Super Bowl championships.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you know how we feel about him. Dalton said, as a 23-year-old millennial that has gone through all the high school and college – years without a winning record. Bring me a proven winner. Bring me Coughlin. I was too young to live through his magical years, and I've watched too much bad Jaguar football. The very next one, Daniel says, I do not want Tom Coughlin as the next head coach. Not that I don't like him or think he'd be a great coach, but I have concerns about his desire and longevity. My choice would be Josh McDaniels. He learned from his mistakes in Denver. How do you know that he learned from his mistake? Because he's coordinating Tom Brady's offense? I mean, we went through, he has some pretty horrendous draft picks in his time.
First draft was pretty bad. But look, Josh McDaniels almost feels like he's the shortcut to fixing the quarterback problem for a lot of people. I think there are a lot of people who assume whoever gets Josh McDaniels as their coach is going to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think there is a little bit of that shorthand going on with some fans. Understand that if that is the direction you want to go, most likely it will cost you a first-round pick. At minimum, a first-round pick to get Jimmy. They invested a second-round pick in him. He looks like whenever Tom is done, and who knows when that's going to be. It could be another 5 years. No one knows with Tom Brady. But whenever Tom is done, that guy could step in and be the guy. And they're a team that is ready to win now. So if Tom Brady does get hurt, they can put Jimmy in and feel good about it. They're not going to let that go for nothing just because you have their former offensive coordinator.
And let's say you hire Josh McDaniels and he wants to and tries to trade to get Jimmy Garoppolo, and the Patriots say no, can't have him.
They certainly can.
Right, or we're going to make the price so untenable. So anyway, let me just get through some more of these because we have so many. CJ said, I'm for Mike Smith. It's realistic and he's a proven head coach. Could be him. Andre said, Tom Coughlin, and if he won't take the job, bring Belichick, and if he won't take the job, fire Caldwell. Okay, that's probably not realistic. Josh McDaniels or Kyle Shanahan, then maybe Tom Coughlin, said Chad. Let's see. Steven said TC, good choice, but only if TC and Dave Caldwell can get fully on the same page about personnel and draft choices. Greg Roman, suggested by Tommy Blair. That's a surprise after he got fired after, what, two weeks this year after coordinating the Bills' offense. He was thought to be, though, one of Caldwell's perhaps leading candidates before Gus Bradley interviewed here. And San Fran, I believe at the time, was making a playoff run, Tony, and they really couldn't get into talking to him, didn't want to wait, and they were blown away by Bradley. Who knows, a different history could have been written where he was the head coach here. At this point, I'll take Coach Klein from the SCLSU Mud Dogs, said Dustin. Let's see. Tony said ABH. That's anybody but Harbaugh. I'd take Harbaugh. Derek went with Steve Spurrier. Hashtag Gata. I think no. Brad said to me, it's not who but what we want in the coach. We need a tough, hard-nosed guy who has a win-now mentality. The culture, discipline, and mentality of this team has to change, and now I think Coughlin would bring that. Woody said, from an NFL perspective, Tom Coughlin, if they become available, consider Mike McCarthy or Sean Payton. From college, Jimbo Fisher, not the first guy to suggest that. Good offensive mind, great with quarterbacks. I'd even see if there's any interest from Nick Saban. He's accomplished all he can in college and still something to prove in the NFL. Josh McDaniels, please, said Cameron, all caps. David Shaw to Stanford from Joshua Lee Wright. A lot of people suggested him. Jared went with Gruden, Urban Meyer, Tom Coughlin, Tony Dungy, Bill Cowher. And others said, hey, that's unrealistic. Well, we didn't ask you necessarily to be super realistic. Just what's your wish list?
Who did you want?
I do think that's an unrealistic list for most of those guys. I don't think there's a prayer. I wouldn't want Urban Meyer coaching here. What offense is he going to run? You're not going to run what you run in college, in the pros. You know, David Shaw's a pro-style guy. Him, all right, I'd consider that. It's not an Urban thing. If I thought Urban Meyer could win 14 games, here, I'd hire Urban Meyer. I don't care. I'd hire Spurrier as his offense coordinator. I'd be fine with that. I want the Jags to win. But I don't think that's the best path to go. Tony, what did we get on Twitter?
From Joshua, Jim Bob Cooter. Again, from Colby, Todd Haley. From Kevin Coughlin, ask him until he tells you no 100 times over. From Senior Fuentes, Coughlin, young players need an experienced coach that will hold them accountable. From Ocho Fisho, trade picks to the Saints for Sean Payton. From Brian, Jimbo Fisher, off the Saban tree, TC is VP of football operations. Kyle Shanahan is a good offensive mind. We need that. From Jarrell, was going to say Mike Smith, but MD has me convinced. Bring back Tom. Wonder what his quarterback views are. That's a big question for anybody coming in here. From Kyle, sleeper option, Dave Tobe. I don't know how to say it. Kansas City special teams coach. coach Bears and Kansas City special teams into juggernauts. From Demetrius, Josh McDaniels, his failures in Denver were largely due to trying to take on full personnel control, which he wouldn't have here. From Jags and Goats, Kyle Shanahan, master of play-action game, has made every offense he has worked with better. And from Jag fan, Doug Marrone could keep the defense coaching staff together, or Mike Smith. Both have had success.
Dave, T-O-U-B,
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. As Andy Reid this about a week ago said, he thinks he's the best in the business at what he does as his special teams coach. Look, John Harbaugh is a special teams coach. You don't often look in those directions. And, you know, those guys work with guys from both offense and defense, right? They've got to kind of bring people in from different areas.
Sure.
I'm not opposed. Look, again, whoever they hire, I'm going to give him a chance. I'm not going to sit here and go, wasn't my guy. I'm going to hope he has success. I don't care who it is. I hope he has success. I hope he's the right guy, bottom line. I think I know who the right guy would be if I were in charge, and we made that clear, that we would approach Coughlin, and that would be the focal point, at least the beginning focal point of my search, at least to see if we could work together. I think he's the right guy. We'll find out. By the way, I don't think it'll happen. My gut tells me that it's probably because I think it's just such a perfect fit. I just think it, I don't know. I think it's unlikely to happen. There could be a potential, you know, like, is Tom Coughlin willing to say, hey, I'm going to see, you know what, I'm cool with you making all the personnel decisions, because your personnel decisions have contributed to 14 and 48 as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he would.
In my mind right now, I kind of agree with you on the Coughlin thing. It would be the top of my list, but it's not the end of the list. It's not like Coughlin,
not.
Nobody else. If you were to ask me today who I think the most likely head coach for the Jaguars is going to be, is Mike Smith.
I think that's probably the most likely because he has head coaching experience. Some of the other guys.
Head coaching experience, and Caldwell was in Atlanta with him when they hired him, and he saw that success up close and personal.
Right, and he had success. He was a good defensive coordinator here in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
All those things. I think you're right as well, but I don't think it's anywhere close to being a mortal lock.
No.
That's the direction they go either. They may say, you know what, we do want offense. I don't think Dave Caldwell is going to be, we have to have offense versus defense. We want the best coach. Anyway, that'll do it for us today, and we will continue this discussion all day long on 1010XL. Stick around, the Midday Chalk coming up in moments. Thanks to Wild West Guns and Gold. They bring you the show every Monday. North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories. Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the USA, guaranteed. From revolvers to sporting arms and everything in between, visit gunsforjacks.com or stop by on South Lane Avenue and see them. Call 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars Today. Right now, caller 3 to our number, 641-1010. We'll hook you up with a pair of tickets to go see the Jags and Titans close out the Jags' home schedule of the season. And the winner of the tickets will go into a drawing to be eligible to potentially win a dinner for two with Sendarik Marks at Three Forks Restaurant and a set of Jaguar-themed rings, all courtesy of Global Diamonds. So caller 3 right now at 641-1010. We'll say hello to the Midday Chalk. Coming up next, this has been Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.